ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुषुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत्। टुडे आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 4। Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Today we'll be reading text 11 and 12. So text 11 is on the board. Sri Suka Uvacha Evam Sapta Gata Agasta Bhagavan Ripasanuga Indra Dubno Api Rajarshi दिष्टांताद उपधारयन श्रीष्ण कौन जारिंजोनिम आत्मस्पृति विनाशिनिम हरि अर्चनानुभावेन यद् गज्जते ओपि अनुस्मृतः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर किंग, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Please repeat. Sukadev Goswami continued, this is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him. And when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tate onukampamano susubhikshamanaha. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reaction of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, and very soon he is freed from all reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service, and the Lord himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program, depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadharayan, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material, conditional life. Mukam karati vachalam pangur langhayate giring yat kripata maham bande sri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanyeshwaram namam vishnu padaya krishna prastha bhutale simate jay patak. Swami continued, my dear king. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami is elaborating the story of Gajendra. So in the previous verse, King Indradyumna was cursed by Agastya Muni to get a body of an elephant. And the reason behind this curse is, Agastya Muni came to the ashram of King Indradumna. Although King Indradumna was in meditation, could not understand or realize or trace that Agastya Muni came to his ashram, and he could not welcome Agastya Muni. And because of that, Agastya Muni got offended, and he cursed that you should become an elephant in your next life. So today's verse explains that after giving the cars, Agastya Muni left the place and Indradumna accepted the cars of Agastya Muni as a welcome, because he accepted it as a desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of his sincere devotional service, although he got an elephant body in his next life, he remembered his past life as a devotee and he could continue his worship and offering prayers to the Lord. So very unique story, and we can learn so many things from this incident as a practicing devotee of Krishna consciousness. So here, a brahmana, Agastya Muni, is cursing a devotee of the Lord. And he is cursing because he was offended. Not because that Indradumna offended him, but he felt offended. So it's one step ahead. Generally, in our dealings in Krishna consciousness, we offend very frequently, right? I don't know what will happen to us, but if we analyze this story of Indradumna Maharaj, he did not want to offend, but some circumstances beyond his control, beyond his understanding, one brahmana got offended. And he got the curse. And he got an elephant body. So in our dealings, especially in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are dealing with so many devotees. Because association of devotees is the only hope to advance in our Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha is the birthplace of our devotion. So without association of devotees, it's very difficult to continue our devotional service, and especially in this age of Kali, because it's the age of Sankirtan movement. So we have to be in the association of devotees. So we have the advantage of the association of devotees, but the greatest disadvantage is in dealing with our devotees, we offend. And we are discussing in Juhu, because they are also, we are discussing about Vaishnava Parad. We are discussing different levels of our offenses. So we generally commit offense at the level of mind. We commit offense at the level of our words, and we can commit physical offenses also. And Skanda Puran explains that killing a Vaishnava is the greatest offense. That's the top. Six offenses are mentioned in Skanda Puran, and the first one is killing a devotee. So that's not so relevant for all of us. It's too much for us to do that. But at the level of words, that's very interesting. Because we have a tendency, because conditioned souls have a tendency to be envious of each other. Envy plays a very important role. Because of our envy towards Krishna, we are into this material world. Because we have an envious nature, therefore, we criticize each other. That is the root cause of our offensive mentality. And why we are envious? Because we are envious of Krishna. And we are still envious of Krishna. We may say, no, how we can become envious of Krishna? We are devotees of Krishna. So if you analyze very carefully, what is envy? Root cause of envy is the pride, and the symptom of pride is that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. That is the quality of pride. So, if we say that I am not envious of Krishna, that means that I accept Krishna is the only enjoyer and I accept Krishna is the only controller. So, if you analyze that, that is a very difficult stage to achieve. Because at every stage of our life, although we may not enjoy the life in a gross manner, but we have an enjoying spirit within our heart. So therefore, while Prabhupada is explaining the 10th canto verse, Brahma is explaining that verse, and is telling, Krishna is explaining, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam saranam braja oham tvam sarva papebha moksha sami masuchah. So as soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully, his sinful reactions are eradicated by Krishna. That's the purport of that verse. But then question may arise, even after a devotee fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we see that in this material world, even the pure devotees and aspiring pure devotees, they suffer through different reactions of this material world. And we may say, this is because of the reaction of his past karma. But Prabhupada says, that when one fully surrenders unto Krishna, there is no reaction of his past karma. Because he becomes the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna personally takes care of him. So how come that karmic reactions are there in those kind of devotees? Apparently it looks like the same, but there is a difference. Prabhupada says, although a devotee may surrender unto Krishna, but there may be a subtle enjoying spirit within his heart. And to eradicate that enjoying spirit, Krishna personally gives some punishment. And so that devotee can go through the trouble of material existence and purify that subtle desire of enjoying spirit in this material world. So apparently, externally it looks the same. But we should not think, oh, a conditioned soul is going through suffering of this material world, and also a pure devotee is also going through suffering of the material world. No, there is a big difference. And Prabhupada is making that point very clear in the purport of the 10th canto of this verse, that although it looks like the same, but one who is not fully surrendered to Krishna, the reaction is given by the material nature. But when he is fully surrendered to Krishna, that reaction is given by Krishna himself as a process of purification for the surrendered soul. So therefore, we should be very careful while judging the devotees by his external suffering. It's a good lesson for all of us. Generally, oh, he was so much dedicated devotee, he went through so much suffering. Why? Krishna says, as soon as he surrenders, there is no material reactions. He takes care of everything of him. But Krishna takes care of the devotee personally to purify his subtle desires. Maybe Krishna knows and Krishna takes care of those devotees. And here, other point is that although Gajendra, King Indradumna, got the body of an elephant, he could remember his past life. This is very, very important. We see in the life of Jarabharat also, he was attached to a deer, but he got a deer body, then he got the body of Jarabharat, but he could remember the past life. That is the unique position of a devotee who is fully surrendered. Although because of some apparent adjustments, apparent mistakes, but they continue to remember their past lives and continuing their devotional service. This is very, very important. So therefore, we should not judge these devotees as normal devotees, because we, the practicing devotees, we cannot remember our past lives, right? But Gajendra, although he got the elephant body, he could remember the past life because of his strong attachments towards Krishna. Narad Muni also could remember his past life. Jarabharat could remember his past life. Now here also Gajendra could remember his past life. Now, Prabhupada is giving an example that to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to be tolerant. Although there may be some adverse circumstances that may come in our life as a practicing devotee, but we should not take that in a negative way. Generally, when we practice our sadhana bhakti, when we get some favor, we get some advantages, we get some blessings, then we become thankful to the Lord. But as soon as some adversity takes place in our life, we generally start lose faith in Krishna. Why is happening to me? I have fully surrendered, I have given everything to Krishna, I have nothing to do in this material world. Still, why so much sufferings and challenges are given to me? But Prabhupada says, more you advance in spiritual life, the challenges will be the bigger. That has to be understood very carefully. Spiritual life, an advancement in spiritual life, is not a bed of roses. We think, oh, we have surrendered everything, so peaceful life, no problem, smooth journey, going back home, back to Godhead. So that concept we have. But sometimes it happens that before we became a devotee, life was more peaceful. After becoming devotees, we face a lot of more problems. So we feel, oh, what's going on? So generally we have a tendency, because in this age of Kali, because Krishna says four kinds of people surrender unto Krishna, but in this age of Kali, generally people who are distressed mainly, they surrender unto Krishna. And we have a concept, as soon as we surrender to Krishna, our distresses will go away. But that is not the concept. Just like while you study 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, before Krishna appeared, problem was less, right? After Krishna appeared, problems increased in the life of the Brajavasis, right? So, Prabhupada says, we cannot change the nature of the material world. The material world will continue to act in its own fashion. Just like Prabhupada said, if you are in a boat and sailing across the ocean, you cannot change the nature of the ocean. You can change your boat. So therefore, as a practicing devotee, we should not expect that there will not be any problem in my life. There can be more problems in my life, but a surrendered devotee take this problem in a favorable manner. And Prabhupada says, he takes these problems as the mercy of the Lord. And they take these problems as a process to surrender more unto Krishna. We can take the example of the Pandavas. So they are the pure devotees of the Lord, eternal associates of the Lord. But they were facing problems. And whatever problems they faced, they took those problems as a process to surrender more unto Krishna. And whatever problem they faced, if we face these problems in our life, as a practicing devotee in ISKCON, maybe we'll give up our devotional service. The problems Pandavas faced, Queen Kunti faced, big problems. They were what the problems they faced, you cannot imagine what kind of problem they faced. But we, when we join Hare Krishna movement, enter into the temples, temple activities, render service to the different services to the temple, carrying on our devotional service, practicing our sadhana bhakti, as soon as some problem comes, we feel discouraged. Because we have a concept that more we surrender, problem will be less. But that is not the way. And Krishna says, if I am pleased with some devotee, then I show some special mercy. What is the special mercy that is written here? The special mercy is that I take away everything. Whatever possessions he has, I take away everything, and that is the symptom of my special mercy towards these devotees. That's why people don't want to become devotees of Krishna. As soon as someone will read this verse, oh, if Krishna is very pleased, then he'll take away everything. But we should not take in that spirit, because Krishna takes care of the devotees in such a way that he can surrender more and more. Just like Prabhupada's life story is a very good example for us. So Prabhupada was a big businessman. He was running a good business. And somehow he was not so poor. He was wealthy, affluent. But his spiritual master said that you should preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, translate the books, Vedic literature into English. You are an educated young man. You should take this responsibility of Lord Chaitanya and preach this message in the Western world. So he got this instruction. But he was thinking how to do it. And he was contemplating, preparing himself. Then Krishna thought that whatever he is doing now, that's not so favorable for him to accomplish the mission of Lord Chaitanya, because he has to go to the Western world. So therefore, he has to take sannyas. His spiritual master appeared in his dream and told that you should take sannyas, because to accomplish this big mission, you have to dedicate fully, and taking sannyas is very, very important. So therefore, he appeared in his dream, and Prabhupada was thinking what to do, what to do. Then what? The last thing, Krishna took away everything. His business was collapsed. His family got collapsed. Everything was taken away by Krishna. And at that moment, Prabhupada was remembering this verse of Lord Brahma. And he was remembering that sloka by Krishna, that when I am pleased with somebody, I take away everything, whatever he possesses. So that was the need to start the movement, to take away all the wealth of Srila Prabhupada. Only 40 rupees to go to the West. Nothing was there. No followers, nobody known in the United States of America. Now when you go to preach, we have emails, contact temples are there, visa is done, car is there to the airport to pick me up, programs are arranged. We are just like VIPs. And the way Prabhupada started the movement, if we have to preach like that, I don't know how many will go to America with that spirit. So as soon as we join, we like to preach, you know, in the Western countries. So now the way we preach, the way Prabhupada started the movement is totally different. What level of dedication Prabhupada had. When he landed on America, he did not know whether to go forward, whether to go backward, this side, that side, he didn't know. Didn't know anybody, did not have any money, did not know where to stay, where to start. That was Prabhupada. But Prabhupada had one wealth. He had firm faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. That is the wealth. So therefore, when we have that wealth, that instruction of the spiritual master is my life and soul. When that wealth we possess, then there is no fear of losing the wealth of this material world. But as long as we don't have that faith, that instruction of the spiritual master is my life and soul, and that is the real wealth, and which cannot be taken away by anybody. But the wealth of this material world can be taken away. But that wealth, if we can possess in our heart, that cannot be taken away. And under any circumstances, we can completely surrender unto Krishna and carry out his mission. And what happened after that? Gopa started the movement with 40 rupees. I don't know how much is the wealth of ISKCON nowadays. So Prabhupada started, the modern businessmen should learn the business technique of Prabhupada. Prabhupada started the movement with 40 rupees. And I don't know, Krishnanambu may know, the asset of ISKCON nowadays all over the world, I was hearing, is a big figure. So Prabhupada has done that. How? He did not have any business technique. He did not have any, he was not expert in anything. But he became successful. Why? Because he had an implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master. Others, they are very expert. Very expert. Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur had many disciples, big, big scholars, sannyasi disciples. They tried also. They went to different Western countries, but they came back. But Prabhupada was not so scholarly, not so expert in English, not so expert like other God brothers. But he became successful. And he accomplished the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because he had that wealth, complete faith in the words of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So expertise is not the quality of a devotee to become successful in a preaching movement. But we have a tendency. So how eloquently I speak, how nice my PowerPoint is, how I can impress people by my eloquent talk. People get, oh, such a nice talker he is. Get impressed. But that is not the secret of success. Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur said that the expertise in talk cannot make you an expert preacher. Because by your expertise in your talking, you can satisfy the intellectual needs of the audience. But spiritual life means transformation of the heart. By influencing the intellectual needs of the people, you cannot make them devotees. Devotee life means transformation of the heart. Krishna consciousness is not the transformation of the intellect. Krishna consciousness means transformation of the heart. So how you can transform the heart of others? When your heart is transformed. If you are Krishna conscious, then you can transform the heart of others. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastra that we should hear from the pure devotees. It's never said that we should hear from the intellectual devotees. It's never said. It should be very high, very nicely presented. It's not never mentioned in Shastra. It's said, although their presentation may be with some mistakes, but that should be heard and that should be repeated because that can transform the heart. But we may present very nicely without any mistake, everything is perfect, but that cannot transform the heart of other people if we are not presenting from our heart. Therefore, it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam why hearing from the pure devotee is very, very important to transform the heart. Therefore, because they speak from the heart. But our tendency, because we are not at that level, at least me, when as soon as we are asked to give class, we start preparing. Right? We have to prepare this context, that context, everything should be prepared nicely. What I will say, this, some, it should be supported by stories, examples. You just make out a class. But where from we are speaking? Using our intellect. That is also needed. We are not denying that. We should not use that. But that is not the secret of success. But the pure devotee, although they may not be so intellectual in their presentations, but they speak from their heart. And what happens? They carry the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their heart. Lotus feet is residing in their heart. When they speak from the heart, that transcendental sound vibration carries the aroma of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that enters in the ear of the audience and goes in their heart, then they start remembering the Lord. And that awakens our dormant Krishna consciousness. And in that process, transformation takes place and we become inspired. If you analyze the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, he never gave some intellectual, very less, simple talk. Mostly you are the spirit soul, you are the servant of Krishna, you have to serve Krishna, chanting of the holy name is the only. But whatever he said, that touched the heart of the people. Because whatever he said, he had firm faith. When Prabhupada was talking, some reporter came, he said, "What's the secret of your success?" He said, "I had firm faith in the words of my spiritual master." That is the secret of our success. I have faith. Whatever I am talking, I have faith. If I have faith and conviction in my heart, then that can transform the lives of others. Otherwise, it cannot. I can be very eloquent, I can prepare nicely, give nice lectures, but that can, for the time being, can satisfy the intellectual needs of the people, but that cannot make people's hearts change. But if a pure devotee, if they speak, they can speak simple words, but that can change the hearts of the people. So that's very, very important to understand. So therefore, Prabhupada is making that point that a devotee who is very advanced, he takes the adversity in their life as a blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they take it as a chance to surrender more and more unto Krishna. So therefore, we should also prepare ourselves in that spirit. That more we advance, there is a chance that more problems will come in our life. And we have to be prepared and take those problems as a stepping stone to surrender more unto Krishna. That we can change. We can change our mentality. We can change our attitude. We can change our consciousness, how we take the problems in our life. But we cannot change the nature of the material world and cannot change the problems in this world. Never. It cannot happen. Because material world is run by its own rules. It will continue to work like that. We cannot change the material world. But we can change our consciousness, we can change our attitude, and we should take these problems in our life as a blessings, as an opportunity to surrender more and more to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is common for all the devotees, those who have achieved perfection in their spiritual lives. You cannot see any devotee who has achieved perfection without going through any problem in their life. Take the examples of Pandavas, many problems. Take any devotee's life, Prabhupada's life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, anybody's life. If you analyze nicely, they had a lot of problems in their lives. So today is also the disappearance days of three main acharyas in our line. Today is the auspicious disappearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Today is also the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And today is also the disappearance day of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So if you analyze the lives of these devotees, you can see also the troubles they took. Either you take the trouble voluntarily or this trouble will come in your life. Because material world is full of problems. So intelligent person, those who are very intelligent, they take these problems in their life voluntarily. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami is the embodiment of renunciation. Because different devotees of Lord Chaitanya exhibited different qualities, but Raghunath Das Goswami is the embodiment of renunciation. He was from a very affluent royal family. And he gave up everything and surrendered unto Lord Chaitanya. And his life, if you analyze, he used to spend 22 hours, 30 minutes in his bhajan. Out of 24 hours, 22 hours and 30 minutes he used to spend for his chanting, reading, writing. For his bhajan he used to spend and one hour, 30 minutes for his sleep, eating, other activities in his life. That is Raghunath Das Goswami. So Prabhupada says that austerity they took should not be imitated, but we should be inspired and we should take that as an our standard. And where we at? We want to get love of Godhead. No, we have an aspiration that I should get love of Godhead, Krishna Prema. But the price we don't want to pay. We take it very cheaply. Oh, we are chanting for so many years, 16 rounds regularly, nothing is happening, we are not getting any taste. So what's going on? Process may not be working for me. So this may be, we should go for other process or what? We lose faith sometimes. 15 years, 20 years, 25 years in the movement, chanting regularly, very serious in sadhana, still nothing is happening. I'm not getting the taste. Why? So we lose faith. But tolerance is the quality. We should be very tolerant. Because we become very impatient. Oh, we should get the taste. I should get the taste. Taste does not come like that. It comes through the mercy of the devotees. So therefore, we think by our expertise, we can become pure devotees of the Lord. No. So we can be expert as manager. Doing devotional service, we can become expert manager. We can become expert pujari. We can become expert cook. We can become expert preacher. We can become expert in every field. But there is no concept that we have become expert in chanting. It's no word like that. Okay, I have become expert in chanting. So that has been kept by Krishna. That expertise is with Krishna. So real key is with Krishna. We can become expert in every field, but the real success of our life will come from chanting, and expertise of that chanting cannot be achieved by our own endeavor. That is with Krishna. So therefore, we have to be very humble, submissive, and dependent on the mercy of Krishna, and that mercy can flow when we please his representative, the devotees of the Lord. When they are pleased, then Krishna gives that key, and we can become successful. And we can get taste in chanting of the holy name. So therefore, we have to be humble. Humility is the quality that has to be cultivated. And only we become humble, then we can get the taste of the holy name. And to get the taste by our expertise is the symptom of our pride. Oh, I can chant so nicely, the love of Godhead will be achieved by me. That's the symptom of pride. But humility, that, okay, I am trying, but we should be sincere in our trying, but should be dependent on the mercy of the Lord and His devotees, that I am not qualified, but if you desire, that may come to me, and I can achieve one day the desired result of our devotional service. So that's the mood we should have, and the life they led, the Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is telling, he's also the embodiment of humility. He said, I am worse than an insect in the stool. He's telling that. And if somebody hears my name, everything becomes inauspicious. By my association, everything becomes inauspicious. So they are telling not out of fashion, no? We sometimes become humble, artificially. Oh, Prabhu, please forgive me. Please, Prabhu, I am your servant. But this is real humility coming from their heart. Prabhupada said it is also good to become artificially humble, but that should become practice and that slowly, slowly should become natural. But we become artificially humble. So that doesn't work much. That humility should come really from the within. As soon as we see, oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu of our Dandavat, but that's okay, that's practice. But the way they are expressing their humility, Is they are really thinking like that. It's not that Krishna Das Goswami is thinking, oh, I am a pure devotee, but to impress others, I am telling like that, to make a show of humility. It's not like that. He is thinking like that. He is thinking like an insect in the stool. That is the quality of the pure devotees. They think like that. Radharani is thinking, I am the lowest devotee. It's not that out of something she is telling. She is convinced in that. She is thinking like that. She is realizing like that. But our humility is not like that. Because we think though humility has to be, humility is a quality has to be expressed. Therefore we express the humility externally. But cultivation of the humility should be from within. We should be humble within our heart. So then the real qualities of Vaishnava will be manifested in our life. Because Prabhupada said, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Soishnuna, Omanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that sloka should be the necklace of every Gauriya Vaishnava. And every success in our spiritual practice is there in that sloka. Nothing to be known more. If we can cultivate that sloka in our life and make that sloka is the life and soul of our life, then all the success is guaranteed. So on this day, very auspicious day, today is the disappearance day of three of our Goswamis, we should pray at the lotus feet. And they expressed so much qualities in their lives. That's the inspiration for all of us. And by their mercy, one day we may achieve those qualities and achieve perfection in our life and get love of Krishna, and which is the goal of our life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. So time is over. So if you have any question, I can take one question. Otherwise, we'll end the class and go for prasad. So no question. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande.